Hi guys, welcome back to Let's Get After It. I'm Sydney Pendergast, joined here with co-host Elise Khalifa.
Hi Sydney.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going.
Ready for spring break?
Yes.
Me too. But following spring break, we actually have like a very exciting lineup of events in April for LaunchNet. We have a craft entrepreneur contest and event going on currently. So the contest part, you submit a piece that kind of showcases what makes you special and stand out as a creative. And that ends on April 14th. And then the actual event is on April 12th, which will be full of workshops on how to get like a business started around your craft. And going to be a little like casual and dedicated time for crafting throughout. And then we have our big showcase on April 18th, where we'll be, it's a vendor event for tabling for entrepreneurs who showcase their business idea. If they don't have it up and running yet, or if you have your business and products to share, you're welcome to set those up and hopefully make some sales.
Yeah. Okay, well, today we're joined here with Frances Brunner, who created her own fashion brand, Frank and Glenn. So, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, welcome.
How are you?
Yeah.
I'm doing all right. I am ready for spring break.
I'm kind of
dialing things down, so feeling easy.
Do you have plans for spring break?
I'm planning on going back. I'm from Kentucky, so there's a national forest called Red River Gorge down there, the Daniel Boone Forest. So I'm planning on going camping a little bit.
That's fun.
And then heading back up. But
how's the weather there?
Yeah,
right now.
Well, it's only like 10 degrees warmer. I think it's going to be like 60s.
Okay,
but
that's good.
That should be okay.
It might rain out in the woods. I'm not sure.
Fun.
I'll be roughing it a little bit.
That's fun, though.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's an adventure.
Okay, well, can you just like introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm Frances Brunner. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I was born and raised there. I am one of four sisters. So
me too.
Really?
Whoa.
No way. No way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Me too.
No way.
That's crazy. I feel like that never happens.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There was like a time I was with friends and it was like we were all one of four.
Yeah.
Like siblings. It was like five friends. So
well,
it's,
yeah.
It's good
three
amount.
Of my friends are one of four and they're all youngest too.
Yes.
So I'm like, what's going on?
They understand. Like, yeah. They understand.
Yeah. I feel like it's more common, but like not really.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. Youngest of four.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just kind of, had a more, I get you could say sheltered lifestyle, but you know, my parents kind of, we didn't have phones until my senior year of high school, just kind of very much up to our creativity and boredom. So
yeah.
I think that was helpful for me in the long run.
Yeah.
And then went into high school. And kind of the biggest part of my story is in junior year, my best friend from kindergarten ended up committing suicide. So it kind of catapulted me into taking on embroidery as kind of a way to kind of cope with this, and that's kind of how Frank and Glenn started, and you know, kind of selling t-shirts and everything. And during that time I was getting interested into fashion. So then, you know, I chose Kent State from there, went for 2 years, had a good time. The more that I, you know, went into the program, the more that I fell in love with fashion. But then I took an unexpected gap year, and I took the summer off to go work at a hostel in Kauai, Hawaii. So I was there for a little bit, and then I was just like, I need to move here. It was not, you know, it's kind of just this moment of like, this is everything that I've always wanted, you know, this lifestyle, so why not now? So I just kind of took that jump and, you know, moved back out there, was there for a couple months, had an adventure out there for sure, and then got an internship in New York. So I went back into kind of the fashion industry, my first internship. You know, that was an experience as well.
And then
I went back to Kent State. So I've been here for 2 years, and, you know, finishing up with my senior year, went to Florence. And
nice.
Working towards graduation. So it's been, you know, lots of different lifestyles, but, you know, I think I like just kind of the adaptability in it and, you know, experiencing new perspectives and new things.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you graduating this semester?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Excited.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, you're also working on the BFA.
Yeah. Yes. So
how
we.
That?
Yes. Well, we did just submit everything.
Okay.
So the collections are critiqued. They're finalized. You know, we have the lineup now. So it was really. I mean, it was an interesting process. I think I have, like, several different reflections on it, you know, where it was a lot of fun. Like, it is cool to create your collection.
Right. Yeah.
This is the second collection that I've made. I mean, it's a micro collection, but the second one that I've constructed, start from finish. And I think being in the community of designers is really, you know, important. And not only can we work together, but then we can also just goof off together and have fun times.
Yeah.
So a lot of different kind of, you know, conversations there. And then, you know, but there are moments where it does take a toll on you and takes a toll on your lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just kind of contemplating between those kind of two sides and the realities of, you know, what does this cost for me to do this, you know, not only financially, but then physically, mentally, and everything, you know, and is it still, you know, something that I enjoy? But I do. So it is kind of, you know, then it's how much control do I have to pivot and, you know, maybe make designs that are more like, you know, toned down that I can, you know, you're a team of one. So I think it's just realizing, like, what can I handle and what's the best way to go about this so that I can try and maintain as much balance as I can.
Right.
But it's challenging. So,
yeah.
You know.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is really fun. I'm looking forward to the show and, you know, the photography and kind of getting photo shoots has been really fun. So it's definitely been, it's a unique experience to have for sure. And so we'll just kind of see how all the dust settles and where I end up. But
I saw on your Instagram you currently have a collection featured on there. Is that part of your BFA or is that separate?
No.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So this is Redress. So that's another kind of big part, I guess, in my designer journey. But Redress Design Awards, it's one of the world's largest sustainable fashion design competitions.
Oh, wow.
And it's held in Hong Kong. So I worked all last year. You know, when I came back to school, I was like, I'm going to hit the ground running. And I did. So, you know, so I worked to kind of build this textile out of waste. So I'm highly value sustainability as a designer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of working with where's innovation and sustainability, where's innovation in, you know, the industry in general.
Yep.
And a lot of that can be found in textiles. So, you know, kind of working with what can I do to kind of make a new sustainable textile. So I worked with Denim Shoddy, which is recycled denim fibers, and I ended up needle felting them onto denim.
Oh.
So it's kind of this.
How long did that take?
Well, I don't know if you want to know.
Seeing the little, that takes a long time.
It was a machine. So it's the felt loom at the Textile Creative Center in Kentucky, which was crazy. It was 2 hours away from me. But it is this bed of like 700 needles that go in and out. So you kind of, you know, go back and forth.
Yeah.
There's definitely ways I could have developed it more. You know, but I think under a manufacturing system, I really think that they have the capacity to make this textile work.
Yeah.
So it might be kind of like a back burner project, you know, for a while. But so then I was selected as a finalist, 1 out of 10 international finalists.
Wow.
And
congrats.
I made the collection.
That's huge.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was really an honor to be there. I sat at that table. I was like, I don't know how. I'm here right now. But it was amazing to, you know, collaborate and meet all these, you know, like-minded designers, you know, from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really a unique and special experience, you know, that we can all kind of come together and collaborate on this similar value, but then share different perspectives and stories. So then, you know, we all make our four-piece collection, and then there's a digital look that runs on the show for the grand finale week in Hong Kong. So they flew us out there. So it was really an incredible experience. It probably was one of the best experiences that I've had in fashion thus far, as it just fits kind of where I want to go and where my values are in fashion, because it is conflicting with sustainability as well as kind of work culture and everything. You see kind of this other side that is real, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of just finding, you know, the right fit. So
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of those values that you want to, like, instill with Frank and Glenn?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. I think sustainability is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainability, I think, goes more beyond just kind of, like, using, you know, the right materials or natural materials. It's looking at the holistic system of sustainability from design, production, to consumer value, and how all that kind of works in the chain in a mm-hmm. circular system. But then also sustainability is like lifestyle, you know, yeah. is this pace sustainable? That's kind of what right. I really had to yeah. ask myself, yeah. you know, like, can I sustain this? Can I sustain, you know, what this demands of me? You know, as well as I think, like, yeah, and sustainability in relationships and work culture.
Right.
So kind of all these things that, you know, there's that big hub there. So I kind of really look at it holistically,
mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of implement, like, I guess I would want to implement healthy strategies, you know, as far as, like, if yeah. I were to have a work business one day, you know what I mean? Am
yeah.
I supporting my, you know, workers and employees as what they want to do, where
right.
they want to grow, you mm-hmm. know? So if we look at their strengths and their passions, they can actually go so much further than just saying, do this for me, and, you
yeah.
know? So I think just, like, you know, I mean, it's all, I'm very kind of centric in health and wellness, so
mm-hmm.
there's kind of just, like, this collide that, you know, you can see that in business strategies, but also I think what I want to explore in fashion
right.
Is kind of seeing, can we bring some of health and wellness and these concepts, you know, to fashion to actually transform and inspire, you know, individuals' lives, you know, on a more kind of scientific level than
yeah.
just like, oh, I
yeah.
feel inspired by this
yeah.
color. You know what I mean? But it's like, no, can we work with neurology
yeah.
or, you know,
oh, cool.
different kind of things that, you know, more scientific approach of, like, this will
yeah.
actually over time, you know, kind of start to kind of rewire some things. And yeah, I don't
yeah.
know.
That's cool. I haven't, like, heard people talk about sustainability and that approach of, like,
yeah.
taking it as the whole thing and looking
mm-hmm.
beyond just, like, the materials that you're using.
Yeah. No, I love that approach.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's cool. The more you go into it, I think I've explored how big that concept is and how many other areas it does involve, instead of just like, oh, well, you use scraps, this is sustainable, but it's like, what threads are you using? You know,
mm-hmm.
what about what happens to that button after you cut that off? What about that zipper? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is, like, materials, but then also, you know, where does that fiber come from? Can you also recycle that? And what's also kind of the ethics of that work system
yeah.
that those people are functioning under, and
right.
the factories and everything? So I think it is... It's a lot deeper than, and there's a lot of different routes that you can take, which is what I find it fun. But
Yeah. So you had a lot of, like, past experience, like, working in different
mm-hmm.
fields and doing different things. So how, like, have you seen anything that you've enjoyed, especially, like, in New York? Because that's, like, high fashion, that's, like, a busy, like, going lifestyle there. So is that, like, what you liked, or
no.
are you going into different
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to give you the opposite answer of what people
yeah.
expect in fashion.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of designers kind of have the dream of, like, I'm going to go to New York and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to work,
right.
you know, this.
Yeah.
And I'm happy if that's what they want, you know, and that's... you know, it is a fun route. There is a pace to it. There is kind of this kind of glamorized, kind of like, whoa, this is all happening right now.
Right.
You know, and I'm in New York, and this is where it all happens. But I think for me, I realized that, you know, I was at a company that I don't believe that had the best kind of work culture.
Right.
You know, you kind of saw a lot of, I guess, disrespect, you know. And, I mean, you're at an internship, so you're at a the bottom of the totem pole, but that doesn't mean that
I should be
valued
absolutely.
In any
yeah.
way. So I think there was kind of things, you know, that weren't as healthy communication, you know, and business kind of, or just like as a team, like I should be communicating what I'm doing, what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of positive approaches, you know, and very kind of sales oriented, which I think, for me, I'm a little bit more of a mindful shopper. I'm more of kind of a minimalist, so it
okay.
kind of really does take me a long time to really consider, does this object of value in my life, and I think that's important because
that's great.
You know, under sustainability, you know, we're in this super over-consumptive kind of society, and so I think, you know, I kind of was exposed to a lot of that in New York. Constant advertising. Yes. You know, you get on the subway and it's like I'm being told how to feel or what to buy. Yes. Yeah, and
it's
so
overwhelming.
It is. It is. It is a lot, and it's hard. I think because my values are so kind of, you know, juxtaposing that that it was kind of hard to really kind of like be like, no, I don't need that. You know, like no. So I think kind of constantly hit with that. You know, and then kind of the pace of it and the hustle and bustle and just the work, you know, working over hours. There's people that I've talked to, you know, that's works like 16 hours and, you know, every day or just like till 11 and you wake up the next day and it's all for, you know, clothes or a photo shoot. Yeah, I know. So, I think it's just, you know, the lifestyle can have the potential to be damaging over time, at least for me, that I found. So I think, you know, and then waking up and just not feeling as much kind of purpose in what I'm doing, you know, but the environment did not help me feel purposeful.
Yeah.
So it's not every company, you know, and I think New York is really cool because I think you're kind of faced with humanity up front. You know, you walk out and there's someone on the street and they could be, you know, super, super wealthy or, you know, really poor and homeless possibly.
Yeah.
So I think you get to see all these sides and colors of humanity that I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you're faced with just so much. So I think New York is a really special place. But for me, I know that within kind of my pace or the way, you know, my values, as well as connection with nature, I think that I would not be able to produce my best work there. You know, so I think that's kind of, and running, I like to run, so really that was another thing where it's like, it's a stop-go.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is this kind of stop-go nature to it, like super fast and stop, that I think I look for a little bit more kind of ease and fluidity kind of within my life. And, you know, I just didn't fit, but but for people, but I mean, it's a really cool place, and there's something unique about it. But
it's just all about the vibes.
exactly. Not my vibe. Not my vibe.
Would you say Hawaii is more your vibe and pace?
Yeah. Well, I'd really like it to be.
Yeah.
I do think Hawaii is quite interesting because there is a point to it too where I felt that there was kind of a ceiling to kind of growth and ambition. I think there is a part of me that does want to move, that does want to go, you know, and explore different things. So I think it is a lot more of a restful culture, which I do like. But over time, you know, I think there was a subtle sense of unfulfillment because I wasn't kind of growing or doing kind of things. I was growing very relationally and personally, which I think was really important.
Right.
And having that space. But I think there's different kind of seasons, you know, and stop and go. So I think finding kind of like a mix in between, you know, and even, I mean, it was hard to find like public Wi-Fi there. You know, like coffee shops don't have like working Wi-Fi.
I didn't even think about
so,
that.
Yeah, it's like simple little things, you know, that it is kind of not, you know, work in that way is not so much kind of, you know, valued or structuralized to happen. You know, you have businesses and there's people who are insanely hardworking there. You know, you hold two, three jobs because of kind of what the housing climate is and how much everything costs,
so
you know? So, and you do kind of get paid equal, you know, it kind of evens out, but, you know, just also really hardworking kind of culture and society. But I think that it was a lot more community-based, and it was a lot more kind of, it's a heart and human-centric, you know, in a sense. I think there's kind of, I always look at the comparison because I jump from one to the other, so it's like,
that's crazy.
Different experience. Yeah, it was cool. But I do think, you know, with Kauai, it was so much kind of, I think from a fashion perspective, but also, you know, just kind of in general, how people show up or kind of what their maybe goals or aspirations, you know, or how they, their intentions in their lifestyle. I think, you know, Kauai felt a lot more kind of, you know, with the body, I guess you could say, or kind of there's a vulnerability to it, you know, as well as just kind of acceptance for who you are, you know, you just show up and, you know, even beach culture, you're not wearing that much clothes. So it's like, you know, it's just kind of you're here and, you know, you get to kind of show up and play and there's kind of that nature to it. But then New York, you know, it's kind of this ego or what we dress ourselves to be, you know, and kind of this whole external value and the way that we interact with each other or, you know, how can this be a transactional exchange? Like if I were to meet you, it's like, oh, well, what do you do? Who do you know that I maybe need to know so that I can get up the ladder? And it's not everybody, but I think that was kind of the two big themes that were just so different. You know, so I think maybe finding a balance, but I probably lean more towards, you know, a kawaii side.
I definitely like would be on like the same level as you. I'm like so afraid of New York.
It's just too much.
I just like feel like I feel like it's just like, it's not like a fraud, but I feel like it puts on like a face, you know, where it's like, this is like the greatest city, but you're also like struggling and crying.
Yes.
And there's no room to like navigate in there.
There's no room to live. Like, everybody leaves.
And exactly. The restaurants and stuff you see walking on, like, it's so cramped. Like, there's just one back to back. I'm like, dude.
I can't do that.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think it does, like, it's just how does your lifestyle fit in that or space to even kind of think and stuff. So, it's not, I would agree.
There's no room to think over there.
No.
Okay, so talking on your entrepreneurial journey, how did you initially get connected with LaunchNet?
Yeah, so that was in my, I believe, freshman or sophomore year.
Okay.
So earlier, you know, it's kind of hard to, sometimes I forget the timeline because I take that break and I'm like, I don't know when this happened because that feels like forever ago. But I do think in my freshman or sophomore year, because I was a lot more kind of still focused on Frank and Glenn and I was still in that kind of embroidery stage, a little bit more rethrifting, but I didn't have, you know, I wasn't at the stage where I was like making garments start to finish. You know, but I think LaunchNet was really cool because there is kind of an entrepreneurial side to me, or there's this ambition. So, you know, it's this great resource on campus. And it's like, you know, to be able to have that practice in pitching and, you know, just kind of even resources of support or here's funding or here's kind of like how to better go about this. You know, that's a free resource to students. I'm like, wow, this was, I was like, this is awesome. People should be taking more advantage of this. But, yeah, the more that I've gone on and I kind of really, you know, kind of captured that relationship in my junior year when I came back, you know, I thought they're like, you know, Zach has been so great to reach out to me and just like even kind of checking up on new opportunities. So it's a really kind of nice supportive space. And yeah, I've had a good time with him.
Shout out to Zach.
Yes.
So as you've like grown with like your own brand as Frank and Glenn, what have you seen that like works for you and like how do you manage your time in with school and other things like lifestyle?
It's tough. It is. There are seasons for sure. I think this last month, you know, you've caught me off of like absolutely not balancing and just being in the studio all day. So I think I'm a little jaded from that. But, you know, I did do, I would say it's been, it's always kind of a semester by semester, I think, like reflection. It's like, okay, you know, we didn't do that great in this area or like sleep or exercise. You know, I think it's just basic, like core, you know, like life, healthy, this, you know, like sleep well, eat well, you know, exercise, social life, and then your work or school, you know, so kind of finding that balance within all that. But I think this year, you know, I really took the kind of mindset to, especially within BFA, I knew that was going to be a lot. You know, I just knew it. And it was, and it was. And I had just come off of, you know, building my redress collection. I shipped that out to Hong Kong. 2 days later, I'm designing for my BFA, you know, collection, which is just, it's always, you know, very intensive work, you know, which I knew that that probably wasn't the healthiest for me as far as sustainable pace, you know, and I was like a little bit burnt out. But with deadlines, you know, you do kind of have to push through it. So I just kind of, you know, took the kind of intention to design stuff that is creative and, you know, that I enjoy, but also can I simplify it down and really kind of go to these basics that mm-hmm. I know that this isn't too much for me to achieve. I think redress like was really awesome, but building mm-hmm. a textile from scratch and doing all these different things, it was like, it was just a lot of work yeah. and I didn't have, you know, the appropriate time to, you know, it was too much work for the time that I had. So mm-hmm. I was really looking at, you know, how much can I really do as well as balance this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I kind of rooted for more kind of fundamental designs, you know, like tailored jackets. And to be honest, I had never really done one before. So I was like, we might as well learn how to do a more simple piece before we go crazy. Right. You know, yeah. I'm not going to do the crazy design jacket if I don't know how to do a jacket right. or put in a zipper or something yeah. like that. So, you know, just kind of really focusing on craft and fundamentals, you know, kind of as like a crash course to, mm-hmm. you know, just fundamentals yeah. of design so that I can build off of that.
Yeah.
You know, but then I think just kind of really having the boundaries of time within yourself to, you know, make sure that I go and work out in the morning, you know, or have Sundays that I go on hikes with a good friend, yeah. you know, or just like the weekend. So just, I think it comes into a mental boundary of I don't need to be working right now and I can enjoy mm-hmm. this moment, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of relax yeah. and then I'll get to it. You know, or if you're in the studio and, you know, it's just super tired and I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. It's like, okay, I can wait till tomorrow. It doesn't yeah. need to happen right now yeah. because I know I'm going to be refreshed and actually not even backtrack. Because sometimes you go through things and you mess up.
Yeah. and then you're like, I should have just left it alone.
Right, right. It's put me more behind. Yeah. but, yeah, and I think it is, you know, kind of keeping, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, so keeping kind of inspiration yeah. coming or kind of different things like on my personal life of relationships or, you know, health and wellness, like food or anything that I'm interested in, like mm-hmm. keeping that still kind of feeding my creativity because I do put that into my work, but it also just kind of keeps me feel like I'm living, you know, a balanced yeah, yeah. life and not just in the studio all the time. But there are seasons. It does go up and down. So I think to shorten that amount of time in that super hectic season is right. what I try to do.
Yeah.
But it's difficult, you know.
It's just a yeah. little ebb and flow.
Yes. yes, 100%. Yeah.
You seem very, like, self-aware and in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
Is that, like, a habit you had to build up of reflecting? Because I feel like something that's something I struggle with, like, taking the time to actually, like, look back on what I did, how I felt, and kind of like yeah. process through that.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. That does mean a lot. I think, you know, there are different, I know that Kauai was a big season for me to mm-hmm. really just sit and understand my internal dialogue, you know, yeah. and kind of really yeah. listen to myself because there is no distractions out there, really. And I also had a flip phone at the time, so there really was no distractions.
Whoa.
But, you know, so I think that was kind of the buildup of that. But I think, you know, there's different approaches that, you know, and I don't journal as much as I'd like to right now. You mm-hmm. know, and that's a good system to do about that. But one kind of thing that, you know, me and some of my best friends have implemented this year, which I think is a really cool thing of, you know, the first weekend of every month, mm-hmm. kind of taking a day to, and we do kind of do like a fast or like, you know, I'm just doing kind of fruits and vegetables. So then every time you're hungry, you're reminded of kind of like, what am I letting go of this last month? Mm-hmm. And what's kind of, what do I want to bring into this next month? Cool. Like a word or kind of
yeah.
anything.
Mm.
But then we also kind of have these journal prompts of, you know, what was the overall tone of this last month? What were the highs and lows? What are you grateful for? So just kind of really asking those questions, you know, and after kind of a big season, you know, that can be month to month, so that's something
yeah.
that like I'm freshly implementing to have more of that kind of awareness, because
mm-hmm.
there are people that, you know, I've heard kind of you know, entrepreneurial leaders who will like look back at every day and think of like what went well and what didn't go well.
Whoa.
Which I've done that ish, you
yeah.
know, I did that in New York, but it's a habit that kind of slipped me.
That seems like a lot though.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Overwhelming.
It is a lot.
I
yeah.
feel like you'll just go down a spiral.
I think so.
Wow.
yeah. Exactly. So maybe like once a week or even in this month, kind of it's like a new year
yeah.
every month. But I think definitely within big seasons, I know that every semester and, you know, even kind of this BFA season mm-hmm. or redress when there is kind of a real end to something, I do like to kind of sit down for a day mm-hmm. and journal and think like, you know, just kind of write it all out and reflect on, you know, what are kind of going back to what are my values and priorities, how did this fit in line, how did this not, and that kind of does start to gauge how I want to go forward, you know, and release the things that don't really work, you know, or finding a way. So, I appreciate that question, though.
Yeah, thank you. It's admirable. I was just, like, hearing you talk. I'm like, wow, she's got it figured out. Like, she has herself figured out.
She does not. I hope so.
But I really want to know, like, what inspires you for, like, your different designs and different collections that you make?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most recently it has kind of been concepts of health and wellness and bringing that into design. I think that is because I realized I was like 70% of the media that I consume is not fashion. You know, like I'm really not looking at, you know, and I have more recently, but it's like I'm not the designer who's like, oh, I love, you know, so-and-so and this brand and I know everything about it. It's just like I'm over here listening to like how to help my life. You know, so I think kind of I've experienced a lot of transformation and change from that, you know, with like a lot of different kind of podcasts. On Purpose with Jay Shetty's a really good one too that I would recommend. You know, but that's kind of been the backbone to a lot of my development, I think. You know, but then it's like if I'm spending so much time, because I've always teetered, I'm like, should I like completely abandon fashion and go this route because this is what I like to consume? I have, you know, but I think it is kind of, I think it's an interesting niche of how do I use fashion as a language and medium to communicate these things. So for my BFA collection, it was about the ego, but it was more about the ego and how do we kind of rewire the critical ego. So those, you know, beliefs of like, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, you know, these kind of core beliefs that may come from, you know, an early challenging experience or an early trauma or wound that we didn't have the ability to, you know, have the support or cope with. So then kind of these challenging things will then, you know, make us believe there's kind of this underlying belief that comes with it of like, I'm not worthy of love or, you know, they will always leave me, et cetera, et cetera. It goes down kind of this drain. So there's a lot of these kind of critical narratives where we self-abandon ourselves or stop ourselves from going towards opportunities or love or anything, you know, that is beneficial to us because we believe we don't deserve it. So it's, you know, looking at kind of, you know, how do we, you know, neuroplasticity, the backbone of that needs change. So neuroplasticity is like actually changing the brain, you know, so how can I then design stuff that, you know, you're doing things that changes every time you're kind of creating this new path. But then also there's symbolic kind of things within like colors and palettes and simplicity there. So, you know, I've kind of taken that concept, you know, in many different ways or just like it is kind of this root of transformation and change. But then I also kind of pull, you know, all my looks like are androgynous, but I do kind of like the idea of kind of pulling in a little bit more of a feminine tone to menswear. So I think that's just fun because there's a lot of room to play. So in this next kind of small collection, I'm doing, you know, kind of these more feminine tropes of kind of like pearls and satin and everything that we see kind of, you know, in this cinched waist and then putting it into menswear because it's like, why is this not over here? So that's even a change in an evolution in itself and how do we define, you know, masculinity and femininity and what belongs where and the binaries there. So I think there's just kind of a lot of, you know, kind of transformation and kind of in all that. But so it varies.
Is this next collection through Frank and Glenn or is it
it is BFA? Just for a portfolio.
Okay.
Yeah. So I could make it in, but I will, there is some other things that, this is a lot more kind of visual, so we have, it's just for class.
Okay.
You know, but hopefully, I applied for redress again, so we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah,
so,
good luck.
Yeah. we'll see. So that might be the next collection that I make. If not, you know, I'll make a few pieces here and there and kind of, you know, just see what I want to do over the summer for fun, but.
Where do you see Frank and Glenn going? Because I know you said when you first, like, got back, you were, like, really into it, like, freshman year when you connected with LaunchNet.
Yeah.
but obviously with your BFA and stuff, like, you got a lot going on.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes.
Where would you like to see it go?
Yeah, I think if I were to look at kind of the grander picture of my life, because I think it is going to take time.
Yes.
I think I have realized, like, slowing the pace is important. Not only for my own well-being, but also in the fact of, like, I really don't know a lot, you know, about business and entrepreneurship. And it is, you know, I'm even taking an entrepreneurship finance class, and I'm like, whoa, this is a lot.
Went in the deep end.
Yes, yes. No, why? I needed to graduate. But, so I was like, this is an elective that might serve me in the future, but it is a lot. But I think I know right now I do need a break, and I've you know, listened to that in myself, yeah, because I don't want to hate what I love to do. And yeah, I know that in my brain it's like sometimes like, oh my gosh, I hate this, you know, I want to get out of this. And I think, and it is real, because it's a signal to me that what I'm doing is not, you know, kind of in a full balance of serving me just holistically. So I think acknowledging that I do need a break and kind of just to tune out and, you know, maybe go surf somewhere and then, you know, kind of be able to be refreshed and restored and, you know, kind of find a new, more sustainable system or a good company to work in. But I think, so that's kind of what, you know, I think over the next year will look like. I think over 5 years it'll be kind of, you know, finding different kind of businesses to learn and how these businesses work and funding, you know, just kind of learning all about that. Yeah. But I think in you know, kind of maybe more of a bigger picture, you know, what I'd like to do is I think really pulling in these concepts of health and wellness into fashion. I think it's a really interesting niche that it's not really present, at least that I feel, at this current moment, but then not losing the aesthetic value, you know. But I think there is also different techniques of kind of, it's called microencapsulation. I don't know much about it, but you can put kind of things into materials that might be like supplements. Like, could I have a vitamin D shirt, you know, that could actually make us all happier.
That'd be kinda cool.
Yeah. So different things. I think it'll be a little bit more of a scientific approach, or kind of like even different studies on what's the psychology of fashion, and, you know, kind of how do people, if I wear this color, how am I responding, you know, on like a scientific kind of experimental level. But I just got to find the right people, really. But I think there's kind of going to be a lot of this backbone to it that I think over time it'll kind of all make sense. But I think right now I kind of just need to kind of keep that in mind, but then kind of find, you know, just explore different things and pick up what I want to, and then kind of, you know, leave what I don't. So.
Yeah. I think that's smart. Good approach.
No, I appreciate it.
So we have one final question, which is our not final question. We have some silly questions.
Okay,
after this.
I love that.
But we'd love to ask, how would you describe an entrepreneur?
Ooh. I've never thought about this.
Yeah.
I think an entrepreneur, I think they have... I would describe them as direction. I think that would be kind of one word that I would put to it. I think, you know, there is something that's kind of directing them in where to go, or like, you know, you do have to be kind of a direction in where, you know, if you look at the business kind of strategies or whatever, like, what direction do we want this company to go? How do we grow this, et cetera, kind of all that fine-tuned things. But I think on a personal level, there's something that's pulling them to explore, you know, or create, or, you know, a goal to achieve. So I think direction is kind of the backbone of all that.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, so, me too.
No, I like I love hearing everybody else's, like, view on an entrepreneur.
Yeah. What's been the most interesting one that you've gotten?
I think they're all interesting. Yeah. Everybody has a different approach.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part. Like, nobody answers a question the same way.
Like, it's not, like, a direct definition. It's, like, how they view it. So I'm like, what? That's why I love asking it, because it's so cool.
Yeah.
But we do have a little bit of a rapid fire.
Classic. And we call it rapid fire, but, like, if you want to expand, okay, feel free. It. We might ask why.
A rapid fire will sometimes last 30 minutes.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh, well.
Okay, what's the favorite place you visited?
Ooh. And I want to make sure that I want to say Kauai for
okay.
sure.
I want to visit so badly.
I know.
It's good.
I'm just picturing it in my head, and it just seems so, lush.
It
seems gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, the Garden Isle, for sure. There though, I will say that in Croatia, I think it's called I'm going to say it wrong. I think it's, Krupko or something like that. It's this national forest that... It's, all these waterfalls, and they go this, bridge that's, you walk on it, but it's, literally, water just running through. And that was probably one of the most beautiful walks that I've ever taken.
Yeah.
So that was special, but I think Kauai, there is kind of a home to it there, just connection, within that experience. So I will say that might take the top. But.
Yeah. What's a fashion trend that you love, and what's one that you hate?
Let's see. I know I haven't really thought about this. Okay, well, I will say what I do like right now is brooches.
Okay.
But I like them. I mean, there's some on my jacket.
I know.
I saw
them.
They're so cute.
I think they're so cool.
They're cute.
Yeah.
On the little lapel. But yeah. I do really like them in menswear.
Yeah.
Or just on collar. I mean, I like them in women's. But I think when you put something like that in menswear, it's just
it's
different.
Just adds some.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jazz, yes.
You know?
Yes. So I think that's what I like right now. I think one that I hate.
Just you aren't vibing with.
Or strongly dislike,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Or are there
tough.
Just, a lot?
I know. Well, I'm just thinking of... I don't know. I think just in general, what I maybe dislike within trends is kind of the, and it's not something specific, but when kind of... You know, you have cottagecore or whatever. There's kind of things where it's over exaggerated in one specific, very dialed down aesthetic.
Yeah.
That it's also you're taking kind of the trends of that are kind of in the algorithms. I mean, that's probably how we're getting in social media, but it's this is prescribing you exactly what to wear and kind of how to set up your whole space.
But then it's gone in
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you switch, you know what I mean? So I think trends in general, I just don't enjoy.
And they give a name to everything.
Yes.
I didn't like
it's so excessive.
I didn't like the croquette or whatever.
Coquette?
What is it?
I think I know that one. Crochet?
No, it's like...
It's croquette with the bows.
With the bows.
It's kind of like cottagecore a little bit.
It's kind of like cottagecore, but it was so absolutely overdone and overworked that it was kind of just annoying.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Also, the nail colors, they'll do, this is blueberry glaze,
or
this is strawberry whatever, and I'm calm down. It's
right.
pink.
It's
blue.
Exactly. It's just people were putting bows on everything, like a hot dog. I was like,
right. Oh,
they're
I saw that,
croquette core, whatever. What is it?
Coquette.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't even seen, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah,
but
no, I
good
did
for
not,
you.
Yeah.
That's good. I try and keep my head above water.
Well, it's just so tough, and then you see all these brands, huge brands Princess Polly and all of them.
Yes.
Just throw it all in immediately. Yeah. And then it's that's kinda ugly.
Yeah, and then it's gone the next day.
It's gone
the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I don't actually this does come to mind is and this is a little bit dated, but I knew that during the time I was but it's the one tops that either have a low cut and they have the straps two straps, two kind of crosses.
Yes,
like
I know.
But they're cheaply made, so it doesn't look good,
yeah.
you know. But then or kind of the cold shoulder with the cutout neck.
That was giving high school.
It was high school for sure. It was high school. It was high school. But I knew I was this. I don't
it was
and
I wore
go back
it.
To
I
that.
Wore it.
Yes,
and I know exactly. And I look back and I'm like, that
Ooh.
Was. Like at the shoulders.
Yes.
That was so in for no reason.
No.
It
no.
looked like the Regina George chop, just different.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Cold shoulders.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thinking back to that was bad.
But it's dated. But I still, that's where my mind does go. I'm
Well, I think back to whenever.
So hard.
Yeah, it was. I think back to whenever these millennials talk about how they were dressed up in college and they would wear the peplum. Tops.
Oh, the peplum.
My gosh.
Yes, let's not forget.
And they do the sock buns, and then they're accent jewelry, you know?
It was so chunky.
The chunky, yes, no.
Well, like, excessively like chunky.
German Charlie's statement.
Yeah, that also was a time.
That was a time. I was there for that time.
Oh, gosh. Wait, that was bad. I'm happy you made it
I'm
out.
Just like,
hey, you look good now.
Like, the peplum tops. Like, I just think that was crazy.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, and I had a few, but it is, that is another one that, like, falls along that category.
Yeah. Like, I was like, we really thought.
Yeah.
We thought we ate.
We did.
The plate was full.
Snatched. Right, exactly. I was snatched out here with this peplum top.
Okay, go to accessory.
Ooh. Well, I'll wear like a gold kind of, it's a more choker necklace, and then I have like a gold or now a pearl choker necklace, and then cute. I do normally like three different earrings. I have three piercings, so, you know, but it is kind of, I just do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
But this is a little different today, you know?
I like that necklace. Is it like bees?
Yeah, these are bees.
I love it. These are so
yeah.
cute.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So I'll do like two necklaces, but kind of pearls and gold is really kind of what I'd go for.
So you're more of a gold than silver.
Yeah, I'm a gold girl, but sometimes I have to do
silver rings on.
I know. Well, and that's I know I always put them on when I wear gold. I'm like, oh, I'm mixing metals.
Well,
but
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I have like my three necklaces that I wear. Well, I don't wear them like out and about like this with my sweatshirt.
Not out and about.
But I always like, I just got a gold one and I was like, I kind of love it, so I just kept it on.
I have gold and silver too, like the two necklaces I wear.
And then people are like, you're mixing metals, and I'm like, okay, and I'm rocking it.
Right, it looks exactly good.
Exactly. Like, and your point,
like, that's up right. Exactly.
I don't see like a bad thing in mixing metals too.
No,
I think it looks cool.
I think it does look cool actually.
And I'm like, it all depends on like how, like, because it's like your features and how like the metals look with you.
Yes.
I remember I tried to pull off gold, like all gold at one point. Oh man,
it's too much.
Oh man. Did not match me at all either. I'm such a silver girl.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's like, I tried.
Right.
So gold was in, and I didn't know myself at that point.
Yeah, I didn't know myself. Rose gold, though, I will not.
I don't mess with rose gold.
That was also a trend.
That was a trend.
It was.
Yeah, and I didn't really
that
enjoy
it.
That
we kicked to the
curb.
Yeah. I think that was a millennial trend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, rose gold everything. Whenever I see people with, like, the rose gold, like, laptops now, I'm like... But it's like a laptop. I'm like, you can't really do anything about it. Like, you can't just go.
No, you can't change it. You locked
I'm like,
in.
You chose that path.
iPhones, yeah.
Yeah.
So you chose that.
That's funny.
Right.
Okay, so do you prefer to sew or sketch?
That's actually a good question that I have asked myself recently. But I think, actually, I don't know. I think I like them pretty evenly. I think when one's too, like, overdrawn than the other. Like, I asked myself that recently because I just was sewing, like, all day, every day, where I was like, oh, my gosh, I hate this. You know what I mean? But I do enjoy it. I think it is cool because it is in process, like, you know, it's putting a puzzle together. I've always enjoyed puzzles, and so that's one of the things, like, you know, it is, and you're seeing it, like, the cool arc of, like, I sketched this, and then it's here, and it looks like what I sketched is crazy.
That's cool.
It still is like, whoa. The one thing I don't like is cutting fabric. I don't like that. Pattern, like, tracing and cutting, I'm like, oh, this is, I don't like doing this. But, you know, but each part of the process is, you know, important.
Yeah.
But patterning and cutting, I'm like, let me make the thing and let me sketch the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Someone else can do this part.
Right, I hope so. I'm like, please.
And that's why you start hiring people.
Well, yes, that's the goal. Yeah. Like, if you love to do this, do this.
Yeah.
Okay, final rapid fire.
Yes.
What is your favorite form of self-care?
Good question. Actually, I don't think I have asked that. Yeah, I do really like running.
Okay.
I think it is, to me, that is self-care. I think, you know, going out on a run in nature, you know, on the bike path or something, I really do enjoy hiking.
Mm-hmm.
I think just being out kind of in nature.
Do you listen to anything, or do you prefer to, like,
No, and yeah, no, I think that changed when I did get a flip phone, because I was doing, yeah.
That's tough.
Wait, do you currently have a flip phone?
No, okay. No, I wish I could bring her back. I wish. One of these days, hopefully, but I do need directions, so.
Yeah, fair.
And business, it does help with kind of like communication and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think I was happy to have that season, but that was the biggest thing that, like, kind of started to persuade my decision to not, because it was like, yeah. Oh, I'm not going to be able to listen to music on runs. I like to listen to podcasts, especially with like long distance running, like 6-7+ miles. But it was kind of like, if that's what's holding me back, maybe I do need that space to like sit and meditate with myself, you know? So I think you do kind of get in this meditative rhythm. And some are painful and some are really good. You know what I mean? But it is like there's some runs where I'm like, I'm so bored or like, you know, or like I'm really kind of churning through something internally. But I think having that space to process that is important, and it's really served me over the long run. But when I go to the gym, I do listen to music. So.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to listen to people around.
No.
No. No. Some of those guys be grunting.
Exactly.
Oh. Ain't nobody want to hear.
Right.
That.
And I've heard. I've had noise cancer. Yeah. Yes. I'm like, I don't need to know.
You're like, I don't need to hear that. But the nature's fine.
Yes. Yeah, nature's good. I can listen to some birds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All of our questions. Do you have anything that you want to plug? The fashion show is coming up.
Yeah, the fashion show is coming up. That'll be, the weekend is April 25th through 27th. The student show is April 25th, so it's Thursday.
Okay.
I'm not sure if tickets are still sold out, but it's it's free for students. Friday, the 26th is the $75 show.
Okay.
So if that's accessible for you, please come on. So there will be a lot of things within Fashion Week. My Instagram is at FranBrunner3, FranBrunner3. Mm-hmm. So there you can find kind of my link tree that has my portfolio, some of my redress stuff. But then I also like it kind of graphic, so you can see a little bit more of my visual style.
Yeah.
In there.
It's very aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you. But I really do appreciate you guys having me on. No,
and it's, we appreciate it.
It's really special to have that space to, you know, be asked kind of questions and be acknowledged in this way. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, let's get after it. Thank you.